birthday of President Abraham Lincoln. On April 15, 1865, President Lincoln died, and a group of Army and Navy officers in Philadelphia came together, not knowing whether there would be riot and chaos, so forth, and said, "We will stand for the ideals of President Lincoln. We will be his loyal legion." As you know, nothing did happen. They ended up being a guard of honor on the funeral train. Today, we are trying to carry on a tradition that began when this building was dedicated in 1922 of celebrating Lincoln's birthday on this site. We will now present the colors. ladies and gentlemen, I am very proud to present and introduce Mr. L. Bruce Langen, a distinguished Foreign Service Officer of the United States. Mr. Langen.
The address at Gettysburg, which it is my great pleasure to read today, speaks eloquently of President Lincoln's hope in the midst of a tragic war for a new birth of freedom in America. By happy coincidence, I read that message today in particular behalf of 53 American men and women who, with God's help and that of a united country, have themselves experienced a new birth of freedom. And I read it in respectful memory of those 8 brave Americans who, like those at Gettysburg, were prepared to give their last full measure of devotion because they believed that their countrymen held hostage should be free. Those men did not die in vain. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who gave their lives here that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note, nor long remember, what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from those honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Thank you very much, Mr. Langen. Those are very nice words. I'd like to say a word about the various patriotic societies, most of them based on ancestors who fought in the many wars of the United States, going back to colonial times. And these people have come out here every winter, whether it rain or shine, on February 12th, to uphold the traditions that we like to hold dear, traditions which we don't hear much about, I'm afraid, in the media and in public speeches. So today, they are here again, and they will lay their wreaths, and they will pay their respects to Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln, an almost entire period as president, was to a country divided and at war. Probably one of the worst things in our history that ever happened was his assassination. I would also like at this time give our thanks to the Military District of Washington, which has provided this beautiful honor guard and state and territorial flags and given us so much support today and over the years. We should also like to give thanks and appreciation to the National Park Service, without whom we could not use this beautiful building. You might also note on your program, we have two companions of honor. One was President Juarez, who became President of Mexico, which had also been having a great deal of strife. And soon after our order was formed, he was made an honorary member. He never had a chance to get his medal. The Mexican ambassador, on another occasion, received it for him. The other one is a former ambassador from Nicaragua who served, who was accredited to 8 presidents and 11 secretaries of state and was dean of the diplomatic corps for 21 years. No one has ever set such a record.
Thank you.
Excellency Eduardo Romualdez, Ambassador from the Philippines and the Acting Dean of the Diplomatic Corps. Next is the wreath of the Department of Interior, the Honorable James Watt, Secretary of the Interior. The wreath of the District of Columbia will be presented by Mr. Dwight Kropp, the Executive Secretary of the District of Columbia, representing Mayor Barry. The wreath of the United States National Park Service. That wreath will be presented by the Honorable Russell E. Dickinson, Director. The wreath of the Military Order of the Loyal Legion of the United States will be presented by Mr. Thomas N. McCarter III of New York, Commander-in-Chief. Thank you. of the Loyal Legion of the United States. The sons of Confederate veterans, presented by their Commander-in-Chief, Colonel Joseph Mitchell. And the sons of Union veterans of the Civil War. We have the auxiliary to the sons of Union veterans of the Civil War. Stars and bars. Jesus. And the ladies of the Grand Army of the Republic. The Lincoln Commission of the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church, the Church of Lincoln. The Women's Relief Corps, which was auxiliary to the Grand Army of the Republic. I'm sorry they aren't here. The Daughters of Union Veterans of the Civil War, 1861 to 65. We have the National Order, and we have the Washington, D.C. Daughters. National Society of the Daughters of Founders and Patriots of America. The Society of Mayflower Descendants. The National Society of the Women Descendants of the Ancient and Honorable Artillery Company. The Lincoln Group of the District of Columbia, already announced. The Sons of the American Revolution. And the Daughters of the American Revolution. And the Children of the American Revolution. General Society of the War of 1812. The National Society of the Daughters of 1812. 1847, which is the Military Society of the Mexican War. The National Huguenot Society. The American War Mothers. The Military Order of the World Wars. The American Legion Auxiliary. League of Republican Women. And now, the 1st North-South Brigade. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States will speak to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, of the millions who come to this city each year, there are always, or is always, a stop to be made here at the base of the reflecting pool and a statue to be seen of a backwoodsman who became a lawyer, a congressman, and a president. It is said that by standing to one side of this statue, there can be seen the profile of a man of strength and wisdom, and by standing on the other side, the profile of a man of compassion. These two views of Lincoln symbolize our own memory of him today. Lincoln, the national leader who in a time of crisis called his countrymen to greatness, and Lincoln, the man whose grace, compassion, and earnest commitment is remembered in countless biographies, folk tales, and poetry. Yet, there is more left to us of Lincoln than the ceremony, the monument, or even the memory of his greatness as a leader and a man. There are words, words he spoke, and that speak in our time, or to any time. Words from the mind that sought wisdom and the heart that loved justice. Today, do our national leaders agonize over the dilemma between doing what is practical and what is right? Let us have faith in the right that it makes might, Lincoln wrote, and in that faith, let us, to the end, do our duty as we understand it. Or do we ever hear fear failure at the defense of principle? I am not bound to win, Lincoln said, but am bound to be true. I am not bound to succeed, but I am bound by what light I have. Do we sometimes question the commitment upon which this nation was founded, the belief in the uncommon wisdom of the common people, the belief that in their right to render a final verdict on this nation's course? I appeal to you constantly, Lincoln said, on his way to assume the presidency. Bear in mind that not with politicians, not with a president, not with the office seekers, but with you is the question, shall the liberties of this country be preserved to the latest generation? In Lincoln's life, there is ample testimony of the depth of his mind, to the compassion of his heart, to the breadth of his virtue, and above all, to the value of putting country above self-interest. But for today, I will say of him only what he said so well of those who had fallen at Gettysburg, that the memory of his life and death are greater than any written or spoken tribute could ever be. The memory of Lincoln that belongs to us, but it belongs never only to us. For as it was said in the hour of his death, now he belongs to the ages. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now retire the colors.
them signed here.
Well, yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
Ooh.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't think I should take this sort of public.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the ceremony for 1981. The public is invited to come up to see the wreaths on the statue.